Good morning, church. I am feeling blessed. I've just had a smile on my face the whole way through the service this morning. And this week and next week, I'm going to be doing a mini-series called The Generous Life. And yes, it is connected to the fact that next week we're going to be having a special gift day for our Big Blue Bus. For those of you who haven't seen the Big Blue Bus yet, I did do a little video that I was away last week and I'd made this little video clip that wasn't able to be shown last week after all. But is that on there, Andy? Would it be okay to just quickly show that just so you can get a glimpse of the bus and what it looks like?
Sometimes as a church now, we believe God has given us a vision for a mobile basis of ministry, the Big Blue Bus. And here it is, the 2003 Scania double-decker bus that was donated to us by the Sir Brian Suter Foundation earlier in the year. Before it came to us, it was also resprayed blue, free of charge. And so we have already experienced God's amazing favour on this project. Now we're believing God for miraculous provision to transform this bus into a high-quality base for ministry and outreach right across Corby and the surrounding villages. To that end, on the 29th of September, we're going to have a gift day. And I would like you to pray to God to lay an amount on your heart to contribute to seeing this vision become a reality. God bless you.
That's the Big Blue Bus. It's exciting, isn't it? We have been gifted a double-decker bus that we believe is going to become a mobile base for ministry and outreach in Corby and the surrounding villages. We want it to be used by all of the churches in Corby, and there are actually two churches in the villages outside of Corby who have already said that they would like to use this as a way of them doing detached youth work in the area. We also see it being used for lots of different outreach. Our evangelists can't wait to get their hands on this bus. And we're seeing it, you know, in our mind's eye, we're seeing it being used for all sorts of different outreaches. I see it parked outside the Paletto Lounge with our musicians on a stage, worshipping God in the middle of the town centre and inviting people onto the bus for teas and coffees and for ministry. Our prayer ministry guys doing prayer ministry, our evangelists evangelising, our worship team leading worship, our preachers preaching, and we want to see what we do within four walls of a church building being done out there on the streets. I see it being used by the street pastors on a Saturday night as a base for what they do as they go to help people who are vulnerable on the streets on a Saturday night. The uses for it will be, in some senses, limitless, only limited by our imagination in God and the opportunities that will present themselves. So next week we will have a gift day. This is what churches do right across the country for building projects and the like. An opportunity for us as a church to contribute towards this. There's already £25,000 in hand, praise the Lord. The overall cost, if we want to do this to an extraordinary high standard, which is what we do want to do all of the things that we would love to do with this bus, the overall cost is £71,000. Sounds like a lot, but we've also applied for lots of grants, and we're already seeing some of those grants being successful and some of the money coming in from those grants, so we're praising God. But there'll be an opportunity next week for those of you who feel that they'd like to contribute towards this as a project, and so why don't you pray this week and see if the Lord lays an amount on your heart to give. Generosity, though, isn't just about a lifestyle of giving money. Generosity is way more than that. And so we're going to look at some principles of generosity which will transcend the giving of money and actually speak about how, as Christians, we get to be like God in living a life that gives away. So it gives away time, gives away advice, gives away space in our homes for hospitality, gives away money, yes. But our lives lived like God in the giving of ourselves for the good of others. Before we jump into some of the scriptures, if you don't know, last week I was asked to speak at a weekend away in Switzerland. I've never been to Switzerland before, but Grace and Nick, who come here every year to minister, they invited me over to Switzerland. And this was the view from my window. Yeah. And so I love Switzerland, but I was really pleased to come back to Corby as well. And the views from Corby are equally stunning. So we're going to be talking about a generous life. The first thing I wanted to say this morning is God is generous. Amen? So do you know, In the Bible, there is. I did a little word study. In the Bible, there are certain words that recur time and time again. So the word believe recurs 272 times in the Bible. You'd expect that, wouldn't you? Because that's quite a key word. The word pray recurs 371 times. The word love, which is core to the Christian message, the core to who God is, 714 times. And the word give, or derivatives of the word give, appear 2,152 times, because God is a giving God. Amen. And there are a few scriptures that I'd like to just show you to excite your heart about the God that we serve. The first one is in Titus chapter 3. And in this short epistle, we read these words. When the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things that we do, but because of his mercy. And we were praying before the service today and just thanking God that when we woke up this morning, God didn't say, I'm sorry, I've run out of mercy. His mercy is new every morning. And so it says, not because of our righteousness, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously. Do you know the Holy Spirit has been poured out on your life generously? Wouldn't it be horrible if God was stingy? But God has poured the Holy Spirit out on our lives generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. In James 1, chapter 5, also speaking of God's heart as a generous God, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, does anyone here lack wisdom this morning? I need a bit of wisdom. This is good news. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Because God is a generous God. He gives wisdom generously. He pours out his Holy Spirit generously. And then in Ephesians chapter 1, which is just a stunning, theologically dense passage, speaking of the truth of who God is and who we are in him, it says, beginning at the end of verse 4, in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship. I mean, that is just awesome. Do you know, my parents didn't choose me, but my God chose me. I've been adopted by him into his family, predestined for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves, that's Jesus. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. That's awesome, isn't it? They lavished on us. So listen, grace is similar to mercy. Mercy is the withholding of things that we do deserve. It's the withholding of the punishment that is due to us because of our sin. Because Jesus died on the cross, he withholds from us the things we do deserve. That's mercy. But he then lavishes on us his grace, the things that we don't deserve. And so this morning you are forgiven. It's legally done because of Jesus' blood on the cross. But in addition to the legal status of you as forgiven children of God, he now lavishes his love on you. And his grace is awesome. He is a generous God. His heart is full of generosity. And so when we see generosity on the earth, it is a dim reflection of the source of that generosity, which is God. And so I thank God that when I was growing up as a little boy, my dad told me every day of my life that he loved me. And I knew that when I was little, that I could go to him and I could ask him for the things that I need. And he, if he could, would love to give me the things I need. And then there were the things that I didn't need, but the things that I liked. And I would go to him and say, Daddy, can I have this toy? And it was very rare that he would say, no. No, you can't. And oh, Daddy, can I? No. If he could, he would love to give me. There's sometimes it's good to say no to your kids. But here's the thing. I know as a daddy now that when my children come to me and I'm able to give them good things, it brings delight to my heart. There's something of a delight that love brings in the giving, not just of things to your children, but of an expression of your love through those things to your children. And so my boys, when they come to me, I love, if I can, to give them some of the things that they want. So, you know, yesterday when we were walking, trying to do a lap of Corby, we gave up and did half a lap of Corby, but we ended up at a place where we met my mum and dad for a coffee, and we sat and had some drinks, and we bought some loaded chips, you know, cheese and bacon, and we bought some other, and we didn't need them, wasn't good for us, but they wanted them, and so I bought them. And this time Maggie didn't tell me off. I'm joking. She did, yeah, afterwards. But there's something that brings delight to our hearts in the giving of ourselves through acts of kindness to others that we love. And God is a God full of generosity. He doesn't grudgingly give. He willingly and joyfully gives not only things to us, but himself to us, perfectly exemplified in the giving of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we were still sinners, with our backs turned to God in rebellion, he sent his Son, Jesus, to die in our place. That is the greatest act of love and expression of generosity the world has ever seen. So the first thing we need to know is generosity is God's heart. God is a generous God. But the second thing is that generosity reflects the heart of God. So when we are generous, it reflects a God who's generous. And there's something about generosity which expresses the heart of God in a way that other things can't. And we live in a world that is so selfish and self-centered, where people are grabbing things for themselves and trying to gain advantage over other people. And when we see true kindness expressed in acts of generosity, it can change our world. I heard this quote yesterday. It says, "We can give without loving, but we cannot love without giving." And there's something about being a Christian where we have been on the receiving end of God's kindness and his generosity that should produce in us a life of overflowing generosity. And so giving ourselves to others for their good is an expression of God's heart. I remember when I was a student at university, I didn't have very much money. I had a student loan, and I was trying really hard to live on that, so that at the end of the month I wasn't going into my overdraft. And there was a guy who I heard of who was struggling, and he was a Christian guy, and you know, God had asked him to take a step of faith, but it was looking almost impossible to achieve that. And so I prayed, and God laid an amount on my heart, and I put this letter through. I didn't put a letter. I put this anonymous envelope through his door, and I walked away, and I felt amazing. I felt amazing. It is truly more blessed to give than to receive. And you will know this if you're a Christian and you have walked in generosity over the years, that the blessings that you get from receiving from others is good, isn't it? But it is way more blessed to give to others. And for those of us who have learned the secret of generosity and living a life of generosity, there's blessing that comes back to us, not always in financial ways, but certainly God honors those who live a generous life. So here's some interesting verses up here on the screen. David, King David, in the Old Testament, he was he had in his heart to build a temple for the Lord. And he was a man of war. He had blood on his hands. And so God says, "You're not going to be the one to build my temple. It's going to be your son Solomon." But Solomon was young and inexperienced. And so David decided to do as much as he could to prepare the way for this temple to be built. And he said to all of the leaders of the nation, he said, "We're going to take up a collection, and I want you to be generous." And so people brought all of their worldly wealth and laid it at the feet of the Lord for the building of his temple. And there was a prayer that David prayed, recognizing that, "God, we have been generous in this, but our generosity only flows from the fact that these things already belong to you." And then this is how he summarizes after praying that prayer in verse 14. He says, "But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Because everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. There's a principle in Scripture that we need to understand, that when we're Christians, everything that we have is His. And everything we have is at His disposal. So that means our homes. That means our relationships. That means our time. That means our finances. Everything that we think belongs to us, we are merely stewards of, because we brought nothing into this world and we're going to take nothing out of this world. When, can we take the picture of the fries up on the screen? Is that right? When Aaron was really little, he was always asking to go to McDonald's. And I remember one time he was in the car with me, and it wasn't a family excursion. It was just me and him, and we were going to go to McDonald's. But I didn't want to buy him a full meal because it would spoil his appetite. So I thought I'll buy him some fries. And we got to McDonald's, and we sat in the chair, and I actually supersized the fries. I got the big fries. And so he said, "Oh, thank you, Daddy. Fries, I love fries." He was only little, so he doesn't talk less anymore. And he said he might do when he gets excited. But there were these fries, and they were supersized. He said, "Oh, Daddy, I love these fries." And he put his arm around the fries, and he drew them to himself. And I was like, I was really enjoying watching him enjoy these fries. And he got towards the end. He was taking his time. I thought, maybe I'll just help him, you know, speed up the process a little bit. And so I just reached over, and I tried to take a fry. He said, "No, Daddy, mine." Now, here's what Aaron didn't understand. Daddy went to work, had money in the bank, paid for the fries, brought the fries from the counter to the table, delivered the fries, supersized the fries, and he thought they were his. Now, the thing, also what he didn't understand was, Daddy was the father of fries. So the source of the fries was Daddy, okay? But what he also didn't know was, Daddy could at a moment just take the fries away. I could take the fries away. Or I could go to the counter and buy so many fries that he wouldn't be able to eat them. I had the power. And I didn't even want a fry. I could have gone and bought my own fries. What I wanted him to do was to recognize that Daddy gave him the fries and to share his fries with Daddy. So what's the parallel for us as Christians? Everything we have comes from our Father. Every good and perfect gift comes down from heavenly lights. He doesn't need our stuff. He doesn't need anything we've got. In a moment, he could take away everything we have. Or in a moment, he could give us more than we could ever possibly want. He has all power. Everything we have is his. He doesn't need what we have. But he wants to invite us to share what he has given us to be a blessing. God is the God of the fries. He's a generous God, and he wants us to be generous with what he has blessed us with. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, up here on the screen too, so Paul is writing to Timothy, a young leader leading a church, and he says this. He says, "Command those in the church who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth." And so many people put their hope in wealth. Wealth becomes a god. And Jesus in another place said, listen, you can't have two gods. You can't have Father God and Mammon as your god. Mammon is the god of money. He says, a lot of people are worshipping Mammon. And you can't have him as your god if you want to have Father God as your god. Mammon has to bow down to Father God. And so he was saying the same to Timothy. He was saying, listen, don't be arrogant. Teach people not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. That's interesting, isn't it? God doesn't mind us enjoying our life. He wants us to enjoy our life. He purposes for us to enjoy our life and richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. But he then goes on to say, command them to do good. And for them, they themselves, because they've been on the receiving end of God's rich provision, to be rich in good deeds and to be generous, to be willing to share. And in this way, it says they will lay up treasure in heaven. I heard another quote the other day, and it says, as Christians, we can't take our treasure with us. We can't take it with us, but we can pay it ahead. How we use our resources, our riches, our wealth, what God has blessed us with in this life will affect our eternity with God. And so in Matthew 6, we read these words. Do not store up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Instead, store up for yourself treasure in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so that's an interesting point to just pause and reflect. Where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And if we're going to move on from the knowledge that God is a generous God and understanding that generosity is an expression of the heart of God, one final thing that we need to understand is that we cannot outgive God. In living a generous life, we can't give more to God than he can give to us. And here's this weird thing in the Christian life. Sometimes we think, you know, you might have a guy called Bob, and he's done the maths, and he thinks to himself, wow, you know, I've got lots of bills, I've got bottom lines, you know, I've got, you know, put some money away for my retirement, you know, I've got to pay all my bills, you know, I've got children, and line after line of expenses, and you go through the expenses, you think, wow, I need 100% of what I have in order to pay all of the things that are needed in my life. And then you've got another guy called Trevor, and Trevor also has all of the same expenses as Bob. So he has, you know, he wants to put some money away for his retirement. He's got all of these different commitments in terms of outgoings in his life. And Bob is saying, I need 100% of what I have in order to pay for everything that I need. But Trevor, having all of the same expenses, says, well, listen, as an act of faith, I'm going to give God the first and best portion of what I have. And I'm going to live on what remains. And I'm going to put God to the test and see if he will provide for me. If I give to him, to see if he will provide for me. And since I was an 18-year-old man, when I was working in a part-time job in a supermarket in Corby, I've practiced tithing. It's setting aside 10% of my income. But back then, it wasn't a big income. And so 10% of not very much seemed like not very much. But since then, throughout my life, every time I have been paid for work that I have done, I have given God what I consider to be the first fruits. And so even before the tax man takes my tax, I want to give my best portion to God. And so I've always sown a tithe into the local church, and then other things where we've been able to give offerings on top of that. And I've always believed that God has blessed us because of that. We have never gone without. In fact, the 90% that's left has often gone further than we expect it to, because God simply can't be outgiven. We simply can't be more generous to God than he is to us. And so there's some scriptures I would just love to show you. The first is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And it says this, listen, remember this, whoever sows sparingly, now this is an agricultural metaphor, and so you can see what happens in the natural. You take a few seeds and you sow them, and then a little harvest comes up. You take an abundance of seeds and you sow them, and a big harvest comes up. And so he's saying there's a parallel spiritually. He says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. Not because someone is telling you to, not because someone is compelling you to, not because you feel pressured to. Each of you should have something. If you're giving to God, it should be between you and God. But each one should give what they've decided in their heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. He loves an hilarious giver. In other words, he wants us to joyfully and willingly give what we have to bless other people. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 and 11, he says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion." And this is what I understand that God means by that. That we are blessed to be a blessing. Amen? We are blessed in order to be a blessing. Now, there are some extremes of some teachings that would take passages in the Bible and say, well, God wants us to be prosperous, but that's the end in itself. If God does prosper us, if we are blessed, I believe that it's in order for us to be an expression of God's heart of generosity to others. So even if we are prospered, there are some people in the room today and you're rich, praise the Lord for you. And thank God for the hard work, hopefully, that you've put in to get where you are today. But God doesn't just want us to sit on a pile of money or to have our nice big houses. He wants us to offer hospitality. He wants us to share the things that we have. And he wants us to sow the riches that he's given us back into his kingdom for his glory and for the good of others. So it says there that you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. If you're wanting to be blessed, God can enlarge the supply of your seed for you to be able to sow it. And he will also enlarge the harvest of your righteousness so that you can be enriched and generous because of the blessing that he's brought to your life. And then one final verse that I wanted to show you from Malachi chapter 3. And sometimes people take this Old Testament verse and they try and extract things into the New Testament context and read things into the verse. But I just want to show you a principle in this verse. So in Malachi, God was complaining that people were robbing him. And so there's the obvious question. So how are we robbing you, God? How are we robbing you? Well, in tithes and offerings. You know, people don't see that you're not generously, willingly giving to the work of God in the nation of Israel, but I see, and you're robbing me of tithes and offerings. And so this is the promise in verse 10. It says, "So bring the whole tithe into the storehouse." The storehouse was the place of collection in the temple. "That there may be food in my house. Test me in this," God says, "and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." And so God is saying, listen, you don't think that you've got enough to give away. You think that you've only just got enough, but there's a secret in the kingdom of God that if you trust me in being generous and living a generous life, that I will not only backfill with blessing, but I will make sure that you've got more than enough to be increasingly generous in the days to come. And so the apostle, so Malachi is saying, listen, there is a test. It's almost like God is saying, I dare you to put me to the test, to see if you give to people in need, to the poor, to the lonely, to the destitute. If you open your house in acts of generosity and kindness, if you cook a meal for people who are lonely, if you act generously and live with a generous life, that I won't open the floodgates of blessing over your life. I dare you to live a generous life, is what God is saying in the book of Malachi. And so we're going to come into land. I know that we've not got as much time as usual, but I wondered if we could maybe just pray together. And for those of you who have just been challenged this morning, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand in the air or anything like that. But if you've been challenged and said, Lord, you know, you've blessed me. You've blessed me so much. You've blessed me with good health. You've blessed me with a nice home. You've blessed me with a family that I can share with other people. You've blessed me with finances that I can sow into the kingdom of God. You've blessed me. And Lord, I feel like I've been sitting on my treasure chest and I've been sitting on my blessing. I haven't shared my home. I haven't given people a lift in my nice car. I haven't allowed other people to sit around my kitchen table. I haven't given my time to help people who I know are in need. I haven't been generous. I haven't lived a generous life. My life hasn't overflowed with generosity because I know you to be a generous God. And so today, if you feel challenged, it may be that you're already in a place that you feel like you're living generously, then you can pray this prayer. Lord, I want to be more like you. And I want to be even more generous. For others in the room today, you've been challenged because, not to put too fine a point on it, you've been living a selfish life. And it's been about you. And it's been about what can I gain? And whatever I gain, I'm going to keep it to myself. And today, the Lord is just challenging you to put some of your resources at his disposal and to recognize that you are merely a steward of things that he has blessed you with. The whole of your life, all of the things that you have, even your job, your reputation, everything is in his hands, and you're going to put those things back at his disposal to live a generous life. And so your prayer this morning might be, Lord, help me to be a generous person and to live a generous life. And I'm going to just invite the guys to come back up, the musicians. And just in the quietness of this moment, I just want to invite you to respond to God. And it might be that for some of you here, neither of those prayers apply, but just however the Lord is leading you to pray and to respond right now. But the goal being that our lives should reflect the generosity of God, and as Christians, we should be the most generous people on earth. Father, we recognize that sin in our lives causes us to close up and shut down and be selfish and put our own needs above the needs of others. Father, we want to repent today, Lord God, and say we're sorry, Father, that in our words and in our actions, in the way that we've lived our lives, Father, we haven't reflected your heart always. We thank you, Father, for the ultimate act of love and kindness and generosity in the giving of your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die in our place on the cross, so that our sins could be forgiven. And the shame and the filth of the sin in our lives washed away. That you have given us a brand new heart in Christ. And you filled our lives with your Holy Spirit. Father, you have been generous to us by lavishing your grace on our lives. And I pray that today, Lord God, you will unlock our hearts so that we can be like you. A generous people living generous lives. Father, I pray as a church, Lord God, that we would be a generous church. Father, that we would overflow in blessing, Lord God, so that we can be a blessing to others. And so, Lord, I do pray, Father, for you to wonderfully, miraculously provide in ways that we're not even expecting, Lord God. Yes, for the big blue bus next week. Yes, for a church building in the days to come, Father. And Father, for every hurting, broken person, Lord God, that you provide wonderfully and miraculously for them too. Just as we've heard this morning that you provided generously for Ben in his sickness. And so today, Lord, we ask that you, by the Holy Spirit, would provoke a revolution of generosity in our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.